concerned. As far as Allah is concerned, as far as the world of the Bismedris is concerned, one studies this like any other halacha, and we find that this man that it's the Raisa, maybe most likely the Rabbanan. But how did that morph into the Zohar? No tshuva. The Zohar says over and over, worst aveira in the whole Torah. The worst aveira in the whole Torah. How did that happen? So Tzadik is machadish. I'm just chazing a little bit. It's such a chiddush. But Tzadik is telling us, and of course, everything he says is based upon what he heard from his tzaddikim, from the tzaddikim. What Reb Tzadik is telling us is that there's a certain insight. I don't know any other way of saying it right now. There's a certain insight that Hashem Yisbarach has into the male psyche, into a man. That insight that Hashem Yisbarach has is the following: this aveira is not the biggest aveira. And this aveira, you guys could talk about it all you like, whether it's the Raisa Rabbanan. You could argue about it in yeshiva. You could talk in learning all you like. But I'm telling you, this is Hashem saying, I'm telling you that this really messes you up. It really messes you up. Because it comes from the darkest part of who you are, which Sadiq, of course, uses the terminology from Chazal, Yuma, in many places. Hirhurei aveira koshim me'aveira. Now, we've all heard that. Hirhurei aveira, thoughts of an aveira, are koshim me'aveira. The question is, what does that mean? It can't be halachic, and it's not. Thinking about an aveira is not anywhere like doing the aveira. Kas v'chalilu. When we have thoughts that are not good thoughts, Hashem doesn't count it as if, God forbid, we did something. So, that's what the Kohen is trying to explain. What does that mean? Kashem. So Rashi says laguf. That is that you get cause. Kashem doesn't mean that they're more strict or there's a bigger chumrah or they're more serious. It means that they cause a person to sin with his body. Kashem me'aver, they bring the guf into all kinds of aveiros. What Reb Tzadik explains, and really it's based upon Rabbeinu Bechaya, Reb Tzadik explains that there's such a thing where there's a tumba benefesh. That's what I was trying to explain last week, that there's a tumba benefesh, that there's damage that one can do to oneself, that even though empirically, statistically, scientifically, medically, it's not a big deal. It's not such a big deal. But as far as your whole life is concerned, it could set you off course. Like, I've heard things over the years that Chevra have told me that happened with the Rebbe, something that a Rebbe said 40, 50 years ago, or a parent said 40, 50 years ago. And if you look at it, if you just study that statement that the father said, or the Rebbe said, it's like, okay. I mean, it's not the best thing in the world. It's not the greatest thing in the world. But does that explain your being, you know, in this pain, in this agony, or in, you know, therapy for the last 30 years and in rehab for the last 5 years? And if you would ever do the terrible affair of asking a guy that question, like, seriously, like, what are you so upset about? Don't ever do that. It's not a big deal. What happened? Like, what's the big deal? My father told me a lot worse stuff now. Like, why are you so upset? Don't ever do that. Because then that's the end of the story. You know, he's finished with rehab, he's finished with everything. If you ask him that, it would be unfair. Why would it be unfair? Sof, empirically, scientifically, what was so terrible about this state? What was so terrible? But everybody who deals with children knows that it could be a tiny little, that's why parents you have to be so careful, and as careful as you are, you never know. Or Rebbe, you never know. It could be something which, as far as Matthias is concerned, it's not such a big deal. It might not be any bigger than the COVID-19 bug. I don't know what it looks like. It might not be any bigger than that, but it could cause a lot of damage. It can cause a lot of damage. What Reb Salter is explaining is that if you say here believe matami hanefesh asichlis, it means from Ben Bechaya. Of course, the actual Aveira, carrying out an Aveira, is much worse than thinking about it. But the Tumah B'Nefesh, when a person's brain becomes obsessed with his own body and his own desires and satisfying, bringing pleasure to himself in such a way, Reb Tzadik is saying is that obsession is something which is more damaging than the moment of doing an Aveira. Whatever the Aveira is. Because this particular inyan of Pgam HaBris has a way of hijacking a young man's mind and thoughts and feelings in such a way that even though, again, empirically, halachically, it's comparatively minor, certainly to the act of an act of arayas, or any of the big three averas, or other averas. We don't find that there's any punishment for the Torah. So what's the Rabbi Shimon talking about? What's Rabbi Shimon talking about? It's so terrible. And what does he mean when he says that there's no tshuva? So Reb Tzadik is teaching us that when you look, and this is what we're going over, and I'm repeating a little bit more because it's so important. Reb Tzadik says that wherever Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, wherever the Zohar talks about this, it always makes it very clear, Lachame apishchinta, that in Hashem's eyes, in the eyes of the Shechina, there's nothing as damaging. In the eyes of the Shechina, it's something that's very hard to undo. When a person's gotten into that inyan, it's very hard to change that whole way of living. It's very hard. Apishchinta. Why? Because Hashem Yira Lelevav. That's what Reb Tzadik says. That's where we're up to. I'm just going to use a few words. He says, "B'vad Hashem Ayis Avera Pol Chamura Harbi Yis." On page Kufnun Beis, Harbi Yis L'Kol Dov Me'ahira. Of course, the Avera itself is worse than thinking about the Avera. V'afal Pisa Tumosa B'Nefesh Kosher Yis as a Raklus Ne'Hashem Isbara. Aye, but the Tuma of Gam Habris, the Tuma that it brings into the mind, into the heart, into the emotions of a person, Kosher Yis. Hirhure Avera Kosher Me'Avera. You can have a person. You see, one of the things with that I've heard often coming from Bochum, and they tell me that they're having issues with pornography. Hashem Yirachem. Those Rishoyim who are selling pornography, who are in that business, those Rishoyim, I promise, the Rishoyim of the world. Those Rishoyim that are doing that, the real big Rishoyim understand that their main haslach is not just by putting out everything like everybody like naked doing whatever the worst of errors in the world. The way that they take over a person's mind is by being megalatefach or mechaset v'chaim or mechasetefach or megalatefachaim. You want me to translate? They have a way of doing it that they show you part of something, huh? Right, and to leave something to the imagination. It's true that if the person, God forbid, looks at such a thing where it's fafalm, or doesn't have there and everything's fafalm, he looks at himself and says, like, why did I do that? That's disgusting. Right? It's disgusting. Why did I do that? But Shasmaisa, when the pornographer is a talented Russia, he does it in such a way where there's still something here that's not finished. Something that left to the imagination of what this could be. That defilement of the imagination is called Hihuri Aveira. Koshim Me'Aveira. How do you know that? Because the actual Aveira never adds up to the imagination. And the actual Aveira afterwards, you feel a sense of loathing and disgust. That's what the picture was. That's their veyron. It never stims. But in the world of imagination, in the world of obsession, of psychology, of thinking, of emotions, especially in an adolescent mind, which is in formation. An adolescence nowadays goes around 47, 48. But in that mind of the adolescent, Hehure Avera, Akashim Avera, Amsodik says, how? So Rakhlifna Hashem is Bach, Aboychen Libais. The Baruch Shalom is Boychen Libais. The Baruch Shalom knows what's inside the heart. And he knows that thinking about that girl is worse than actually doing something with the girl. Worse doesn't mean worse than an Avera. It's worse than an Avera to do something with a girl. But you do the Maisa takes a minute and it's finished, Gendik. And usually you feel disgusting. But with the thought of the Avera with the girl, half the audience walking around thinking about that girl, or two of them, whatever, it's how many girls they're thinking about. The girl. They're walking around thinking about the girl. And that thinking becomes obsessive. And that obsession destroys the person. But only Hashem knows that. Hashem knows that. That's what the Tzaddik says. Even though the Tumi says of the Aveira, of course, Aveira is an Aveira. It's Chomer. But the Tumi, Reb Tzaddik says, Tumi b'nefesh. The Tumi b'nefesh, the deep internal, spiritual, emotional, psychological damage of imagination. Of imagination is kosher, Yosef is worse. That whole area, we have a bris that a guy does something with himself, he's not doing the things that he wants to do. What he really wants to do, if he's a regular man, he wants to do with a girl. If he's somebody that Khalilah is interested in guys, he wants to do with it. Forgive me for talking. Hashem is also figure with talking, it's terrible. If he wants to do with a guy, if he has something he needs to do with a guy, that's really what he wants to do. He would never say, no, my whole tachlis in life is to do this to myself. No, his tachlis is to do it with a girl. This guy's tachlis is to do it with a guy. This Michigan's tachlis is to do it with a chai, with a behemoth, with an eye. People are crazy. That's his tachlis, right? So tell me, my friend, why are you sitting here doing this by yourself? No. Akash, where does that come from by himself? It's so pathetic. Loneliness, emptiness, obsession, the mind, the imagination. He saw a television show, he's thinking of the girl in the movie. Whatever it is. And that completely takes over the person's life. So Tzaddik says, nobody knows that. You can't write that over in Chumash. You can't write that in the Gemara. No one knows that. Chazal said, listen, Hehure Aveira, Kashem Aveira. Hear what Tzaddik is saying? Hehure Aveira, Kashem Aveira. Doesn't mean it's worse in terms of halacha. Hashem knows what's in the heart, and Hashem knows that when you get lost in that disgusting world, when you get lost in that ugly world, it comes with the self-loathing and hatred and all the other stuff and the imagination and the obsession. When you get lost in that, that's going to pull the person further away from him, from Hashem, than an actual moment of doing an aveir. That pulls a person further away from Hashem. That way of thinking, being in that place, in that way of life, it causes more damage to a Jew's relationship with Hashem than an actual moment of doing something that's an aveir, which is just the moment itself, which is a serious thing. Of course, more serious. It's a way of thinking, and only Hashem knows that. This inyan of the damage of Gam HaBris, of Shechves HaLevatala, this inyan is one of those things that's known on the stars. It's known to the one who created us. Ein goli el lifnei Hashem elokeinu. It's only known to Hashem elokeinu. V'lonu levaneinu hu la'aseis es kol divrei Torah. Our job, we Jews, we follow Shulchan Aruch. We do what we're told. We try to follow Shulchan Aruch. El kafi mishpat haTorah mashiach mir ba'azor esah. We know the Torah says that it's much more serious to do an aveira with a woman. That's to do an aveira. So that's what the Sefer Chassidim says, that if you feel you can do an aveira with this girl and you're not going to do this aveira, better to go on the side someplace by yourself and do the aveira by yourself. That's in terms of the mitzvahs of Allah. But in terms of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, Hashem Yir Lelevav, of what damage this causes, this inyan of Pagam HaBris, the misery, how pathetic it is being alone and by yourself, sitting in front of a television or a computer, going someplace into a bathroom, or in bed and doing such a thing, God forbid. Hashem knows that there's nothing more pathetic, but filled with such sadness and loneliness that causes such an empty feeling, that brings such damage to your relationship with your wife, to your kids, that brings damage to your davening, to your learning, to your home and see us as a person in the world. And that's not anything that could have been written in Hanigla Slonovanel. To say such a thing, to write it out. Only Hashem Yerulalev of such a thing. And that's why on page Kufnun Gimel, in the paragraph beginning with the word Mitam, I don't know if you could see that on your phone, where it says Mitam, and then on page Kufnun Gimel, you see where it says Mitam? So you go down to the bottom of that paragraph. Now, what about tshuva? So when we were learning Shulchan Aruch, we saw that there are different tikkunim, right? All kinds of stuff, especially learning Torah. B'koach, like Nachum says in the first Torah. Learning Torah b'koach. So, but the Zohar says no tshuva. So, Reb Tzadik says, the whole chumrah of Pagam HaBris comes from where? From this inyan of Hehuru Aver Koshim, while Hehuru Aver Shibalev. We're talking about Hehuru Aver Shibalev in the heart. Vada, this Hagin Shubba Shibalev Nava. Reb Tzadik says, all the things that you have on the list of all kinds of tikkunim, Reb Tzadik says, really, that's not it. It's a very daring thing that he says. He said, the problem here is in the heart, and the tikkun is tshuva shebelev. Not that you shouldn't do any of the good suggestions that they had, because all the suggestions that we have in the Kadmonim, of all kinds of tikkunim, they help to repair the damage of the heart. All those things, learning Torah because there's nothing stronger than that. Well, is that you become a person that's preoccupied with learning Torah and stops thinking about Narishkai. All the tikkunim are very, very valuable tikkunim. But Reb Tzadik is saying, the point of all those tikkunim, in the Svarm, of all things you could do to fix this affair, the point of all of those is to repair the damaged heart, to make you into a person that thinks about more important things, that thinks about holy things. But the underlying tshuva, what Tzadik says, the problem begins in the heart, and vada de sagi b'tshuva shebelev levad. Sagi b'tshuva shebelev levad. Therefore, the tshuva begins cleaning out the heart. How do you get your heart clean? Say there are all kinds of suggestions, all kinds of recommendations. Different people need different things to clean out the heart. The point is cleaning out the heart. And therefore, Reb Tzadik says, of course there's tshuva for this. And in this way, tshuva is easier than other avers. Tshuva for this means getting back to the problem. The problem is a polluted heart. Clean out your heart. The problem began in the heart. Hiruhi aver in the heart. That's where it began. Now, this could take a lot of therapy and help, whatever, but the problem began in the heart. Clean out your heart. And that's tshuva. Meshkasavdi, v'kolachayimishabahu rak kaidim sheshad. All the chumras, all the scary things, that's before you do tshuva. But once your heart understands the real problem, and you clean out your heart and you return, hainitar halev v'rafalo. Your heart is pure and you are healed. You don't have to do any of it. You don't have to roll in the snow. You don't have to fast. None of that stuff. In the old days, spending some time in the snow without your clothing on helped you purify your heart. Now it just gets you into the hospital. But in those days, it helped you to purify your heart. It did. They did stuff like that. They used to fast a lot. They used to go in the snow, get gula shel, all kinds of things that they did. And in their world, that brought to a purification of the heart. That was one of the things that helped. Learning Torah B'Koach guaranteed that works now also. But even now, if your whole learning of Torah is tam, to be a smart person that can slug up your Rebbe, doesn't purify your heart either. But if you learn Torah the way you're supposed to learn Torah Lishma, with the Baruch Shem and with the Vekas, and the way that the Tzaddikim said to learn Torah, it'll purify your heart. All this requires is a purification of the heart. That's hard to do. But that's all that's required here. It's not tshuva to avoid the punishment. It's not tshuva because I'm going to Gehenna. It's tshuva because I'm in Gehenna already. You understand? Not because I'm going to Gehenna. Anybody that's in this Aveiro, I don't mean they did it once or twice, who lives in this Aveiro, God forbid, if Gama Bris, he doesn't have to worry about going to Gehenna. He's in Gehenna right now. That's what Tzaddik is saying. You're not going to Gehenna. You're going to Gehenna if you do something with the girl. Then you got to worry about where you're going. You got to fix that up. That's something else. That's where you're going. But as far as Pagam HaBris, it's not about where you're going. You're right in Gehenna right now. You live in Gehenna right now. No one knows it except you. How you're so out of control of your life. Nobody knows it except you. That's why you're not davening. That's why you're not learning. That's why you're walking around like this with your head down. That's why you're not. That's why you're angry at your parents. Well, the parent, your mother's a nice lady. She took care of you your whole life. She took care of you. Why are you so angry at your mother? Rav Kook writes about Nosa Tshuva, about the anger of the Chaitim. People are so angry. What are you so angry about? You see these kids, they're so angry. The mother's the nicest lady in the world. This guy's the happening for their mothers. What did the mother do? The mother said, go out with this girl. I think she's a nice girl. So for that, you put her in Chayim or something? How people treat their mothers? Here, the union with the mothers especially, it's a very deep union. The Chalal with parents. It's a very deep inyan. I'm not going into it right now. But this is, from where does it come, such anger against good parents? Listen, there are parents that are not just Givaldic parents. There are parents that do bad things, say the wrong things. But generally speaking, I have seen that the punishment does not fit the crime. The way kids punish their parents does not usually fit the crime that the parents committed. Not usually. Sometimes, very rarely. Mostly the parents tried hard. They made some mistakes. Good, bad. But you have the punishments that the kids give their parents? Unbelievable. So, Pekam HaBris. That's why it's generally much worse by guys than girls. Much worse by guys than girls. Girls, what I've seen, and it could be this totally against everything that the professors say, but what I've seen is that girls are much, much more forgiving and easier to deal with this thing. They have their own issue of Pagama Bris, which we're not going to talk about for a while, how that works with women. But with guys, they knew with their parents and they anger with their parents. Really, most of the time, I don't see that the punishment goes with the sin that the parents did. It could be mama's schus and a parent. The parent meant well. Which parent doesn't mean well? Which parent doesn't mean well? Vaharaya, when we become parents, we mess up much worse than our parents did. But we still forgive ourselves, but we can't forgive our parents. What's the anger against the parents? Especially when it comes to mother, which is a pelle, because 99.9% of the Jewish mothers are the nicest people in the world. And even if they do sometimes some funny stuff, they certainly meant well. So why can't a person be malama schus on a mother? What do you have with your mother? Your father didn't have value with your mother. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in the world, right? There's so many complications with this. There's so many complications. That's why I once told you a strange thing that a very famous a Jewish person who was the father of modern psychology, who wasn't Shem Mitzvahs, that he said about, we were learning once in the Chabur, and I mentioned to you, he was talking about the Sherish of Christian anti-Semitism. I think many of you will remember this. It's such a strong part. He said, why is it that they hate Jews so much? What does Christianity have with Judaism? So you remember the Vart? What he said, what Freud said? Sorry to say his name in the shul. He was a Yid. What he said was a Gewaldige Vart. He said, where does Christian anti-Semitism come from? The Sherish. Of course the Sherish comes from a much deeper place, but he said a good thing. He said the Sherish of Christian anti-Semitism, the church, Christianity with Jews, is they never forgive the Jewish people for bringing Yoshka into the world. The reason they hate us is because that person, the one that is on the cross, that person was a Yid, was a Jew, and they have never forgiven us for bringing him into the world. to hate us because we brought him into the world. Because until that point, they were like happy pagans and having a good time. And all of a sudden, they that's a whole problem with religion. They hate us because we brought him into the world. Now, what did they do? So Freud said, because they really don't want to have any conscience. They don't have any feelings of religious guilt or anything. Nobody wants to feel any guilt. Guilt is a bit. Nobody wants to feel guilty. So Yashka makes them all feel guilty. That's why when they curse, they say his name a lot. You ever see? When they curse, they say his name. It's a funny thing. Like if you worship him, why do you want to curse him? Because they really hate him. They hate him with a passion. They're trying to appease him, like they used to bring offerings to the gods. They used to sacrifice children to the god. So they try to appease Yashka. They think that it's Avodah Zarah. They want to appease him because they want him to get angry at them. But they hate him. They hate him. So what did they do? So they had to come up with something. So they figured it out. They're very smart. Remember, the people that started this stuff are Jews, right? So the one whose name was Shaul, who they call Paul, so they had to. He came up with a gewaldige idea. It's called the Immaculate Conception, which basically means that there was no aveira that took place. There's no aveira that your mother's a psula, the Virgin Mary. It's a gewaldige einfall, isn't it? It's an unbelievable einfall. Your mother never did anything bad. So then they could all worship their mother. They found a way to somehow alleviate the pain of the guilt that Oisahish brought upon them by having a virgin mother. It's a very, very deep sugya. The world is suffering from this inyan in ways that no one understands, and to talk about, you can't talk about. This inyan of the anger that parents have to that children have to parents, where it comes from, it's the sharish of that. And they didn't do any such big affairs that is so chomer that you should run away from them, you should hate them, you don't want to talk to them because he said this and she said that. For that, you're able to turn away from someone who gave you everything in the world. But Hashem Yir Lelevav, Hashem sees deep, deep, deep into the heart of a person. And this inyan of Pgam HaBris, this inyan of Pgam HaBris causes unbelievable collateral damage in our relationships with our parents, and our relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our davening, and our learning, and so on. And there's dafke in such a way where on the outside, when you look at things on the outside, you don't see that it's such a big deal. It's such a big deal. And the world says it's not a big deal. Now we can understand, and if you have, I think that you were sent off was on Kuf Samach Hei. A couple of pages up ahead in Takanas HaShavin. If you look on Kuf Samach Hei, Takanas HaShavin, not the pages that you just got last night or this morning, but the ones from a few weeks ago, on Kuf Samach Hei, where I made an arrow, it's underlined, you see it? It says, Avo. Kfi mash kasati l'el b'tshuva shesidru rakech v'ari denim la'akev ha'kapar rak l'doyrei. Now, what do we make of Rabbi Shimon Vayichai and the Arizal and the Rakech and the Chassid Ashkan saying such strong things? But what Reb Sadik explained is, yeah, that's not a kasha. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai also saw what's in the heart. Now, Reb Shimon, Nari HaKadosh, they knew the Gehenna that puts us in more than other, even other Chachamim and Tanoim. They knew the Gehenna of that. They understood. They saw it with Hashem's eyes. The way that Hashem, Ein Hashem al Tzadikim, Reb Shimon had eyes to be able to see into the heart of a person and to know the difficulty of this aveira. And therefore, they were speaking from a place. Remember, when Reb Shimon was not teaching thousands of people, Reb Shimon didn't have a website, you understand? Reb Shimon wasn't online. Reb Shimon was speaking to a few of the biggest Tzadikim who understood this Indian. Even Ari HaKadosh. That's why I became much more controlled over the years talking about this. Rabbi Shimon was talking to only the biggest tzaddikim who understood this Indian. And then what they go is, and they put out the Zohar HaKadosh, all kinds of nice editions and copies, and they translate to English. Rabbi Shimon says, whoa. I didn't want that sentence to get out there, you know. Now it's posted everywhere. Said, what? Forgot my bris, no tshuva. He could slug up shims and go, oh. Not that it's not true. But it's truth, and that what Reb Tzadik is teaching is no tshuva doesn't mean you can't do tshuva. Reb Tzadik says you do tshuva the life. No tshuva means that it's so unbelievably hard to clean out that inyan from the heart. That's what he says. Then ma'akev ha-kapara. All of these things with Arizal and Rabbi Shimon, the Torah, and all these tikkunim, it's not because Hashem doesn't forgive you. Rakla doyrein. Adar means a gift, an offering. To be completely cleaned out and to feel I'm back again with Hashem, best friends, buddies with Hashem. Not because you did such a serious aveira. That's not it. Because you felt that you had nothing to do with Hashem. And therefore, you need to do something very, very special to break through that blockage and clean up things in order to feel yourself. That you're best friends again. That you're back in with Hashem. That's why I skipped to the bottom. Umaylis Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Basagoso, Mashagilo Lechavai Shalom. This greatness of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in his asagas, what he understood a person is. Umashagilo Lechavai Shalom. And he revealed to who? He didn't reveal to the whole world. He revealed to his Chavraya, to his Chavra. Gavoa Mikulam. It's higher than Arizal. It's higher than the Rokeach. It's higher than all of that. It's higher than all the other Tanaim. It's higher than all of that. Rabbi Shimon. Oh, he was Megala to the Chevraya. Kidum is our Kaddish. Masha'am al-Atzmo. Chen al-Bnei Dara. He was unique. And it was a unique time in history. At that time of the Chorban. And what he saw and what his Chevraim saw was something that others didn't see. That wasn't supposed to be posted. And they misinterpreted. So you get some Rebbe, you know, some Rebbe in some yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that tells this student, that tells some Talmud, which happened to one of my Talmidim, that tells him, you should know that Hashem doesn't forgive you. It says Nazar, Hashem doesn't forgive you for what you're doing. Or if it happens to you on Yom Kippur night, that you're going to die the next year. Have you heard that one? Of course you heard it. Is it written? Of course it's written. The same Rebbe showed the same student that was there. He showed him both of those things on the same Sunday morning in yeshiva. No? So it was posted. Rebbe Shimon said there will never ever be again a generation like this, like his, with his chavraya. Never. Such giluyim, such revelations, will not be until Mashiach comes. But Rav Tzadik explains, revelations does not mean just all kinds of fancy things in Kabbalah. You know what it means? What's looked in hearts? The revelation of what's in the heart, of the suffering of a person, of what hiruei avera do to a person, how they turn your whole life upside down and make you miserable in ways that you don't even know yourself. You don't even understand why you're acting out like that. Why are you so angry? Why are you acting out like that? Why is it you can't get out of bed? Some of these boys, they can't get out of bed. What do you think it's for? What? They're so tired. Growing pains. What do they have? Doesn't want to come to shul. He doesn't believe in God. Why don't they? He doesn't want to go to shul because he doesn't believe in Hashem. He believes in Hashem. Rav Shimon, Ad Bias Mashiach, there's nobody that would understand the heart. Like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his Chavrai. And according to the Hasagas of their Madrega, Hasagas Madregosam, Armu Shubachetza, Ain Shuva Moil, they said on their Madrega that this chait is such a chait, Ain Shuva Moil, that just, you know, doing the regular things of Shuva don't work. The regular Shuva doesn't work. Shiyukhala Hagia, the Madrega, Gevoa Kazu, to come to the Madrega of what? Madrega? The Madrega, Rabbi Shimon and Chavrai. To have such a pure heart like Rabbi Shimon and his Chavrai. Regular Tshuva doesn't work. To come to a place like everyone else said, Leif Tahor Biroli Elokim. Leif Tahor Biroli Elokim. Even Dar Melech said, I can't do that. I'm asking you, I don't know how to do that. Don't know, sir. Leif Tahar Bira. Bira means to create. Bira li Elokim. Leif Tahar Bira li Elokim. I can't. I pushed myself to the limits of children. David Melech. But I'm asking you to create a new heart. Until Mashiach comes, there won't be such an inyan like Rabbi Shimon Chavraya and his Chavraya. So when Rabbi Shimon was talking about the tshuva doesn't work, he says, I'm shchint in front of the Shekhinah. To see the Shekhinah in such a clear way, to be able to experience Nevuah, to be able to have such a heart that is entirely pure and able to receive the Shekhinah without any blockages at all, this Aveira is the worst Aveira. This, the damage of this Aveira is worse than any of the other Aveiras. As far as halacha is concerned, it's not, and that we operate in the world of halacha. But as far as shuv is concerned, it's the most difficult thing. And that's why the tikkunim that we have, all the tikkunim we spoke about, some of them, we're going to learn more about them, especially learning Torah b'koach, and especially learning Torah, pnimius of Torah, the deepest teachings of Torah, to purify the heart. It's all about coming to that place of leif tahar, of showing Hashem, I want to have a pure heart. Because otherwise a person does not know how to get rid of this. Listen, it certainly helps by not having stuff on your computer, and helps to not to go look at the bad things, and not to read the wrong kind of stuff, and look at pictures that are not, all of that stuff, that's halacha. But at the end of the day, David HaMelech said, listen, David HaMelech didn't go to any of the bad stuff, but after all of that, he said, Leif Tahar, Biroli Elokim, Ruach Nachon, Chadesh Bekirbi, Al Tashli Cheni Mufanach. You hear the words? Al Tashli Cheni Mufanach. The whole Tikkun HaKlali of Rabbi Nachman is on this Nakud, even though that's not one of the Kapitlach. Al Tashli Cheni Mufanach, because when a Jew is in this Aveira, he feels he's been thrown away by Hashem. But if you talk to a guy that by mistake, or he had an Indian, he turned on the light on Shabbos, or last year he was talking Lashon Hara a lot, he doesn't feel like Al Tashli Cheni Mufanach. He doesn't feel like Hashem is throwing him away. What do you mean? Lashon Hara is the Raisa. Chavos Chaim has a whole list of 36 different things, you know. Lashon Hara? Doesn't feel like it. Even, what's fascinating is, even the guy that did something with his girlfriend that he shouldn't have done, doesn't feel as mushlach, as thrown away, as that lonely, miserable guy that's doing it with himself all the time. The guy that did it with his girlfriend says, I gotta stop that. No more. We're not talking to each other anymore. Yom Kippur, finished, we're done. No more. Because he feels, I can stop it. And she's gone. But the guy that's in this inyan of Hiruei Vakash Mavir that leads him to do stuff with himself, he feels mushlach. Mushlach. Thrown away by Hashem. Al tashli chenim lufanach. Ruach kodshecha al tikach mimen. Al tashli chenim lufanach. That's what all the boys are crying about. Al tashli chenim lufanach. They don't believe in God. That's why they don't go to shul. Because the boys, when they start to get a little bit pimples and a little bit, you know, whiskers, they're starting to have all kinds of hiruei aveira, right? They don't talk to you about it. They're having hiruei aveira. All of a sudden, cousin Sarula looks a little bit different than I thought she looked. You know what I mean? I never noticed that about it, my bad Sarah. And he's having hiruei aveira. And you didn't know. You were the one that brought him to be together. The family's important. So you brought him back together there with his cousin Sarah. The only thing is the cousin Sarah is now 15 years old, you know? She's not 9 years old anymore. And hey, we're one happy family. But your tzaddik of his son goes to bed at night and he's thinking of his cousin Sarah. And he feels mushlach. Especially if he does something, he feels mushlach lagamre. And then his father comes and says, Kum la voides haboire! Shtayoif! Time to daven. Yeah? And he's thinking Sarula. And he says, Shtayoif! Stand up, come daven. He's lost with his cousin. Chachmanis. That's Reb Tzadik. You see the Havas Yisrael and Reb Tzadik. Reb Tzadik is one of Rabbi Shimon's Chavra, you understand? I mean, of course he wasn't actually, but in that world, the Baal Shem, Talmidei Baal Shem lived in that world. It's not because they were just covering things up and making nice. They understood that that kid is totally broken and he feels mushlach, and that's why he doesn't want to go to shul. Not always. Sometimes he's stopped, whatever. I'm not saying that every time. Of course not. But stop. You understand what I'm saying? I don't mean every time, but an overall behavior that's... And then they start to get a little bit older and they start to learn Torah B'Koyach, and they feel that they have more strength to overcome some things, or they're fighting against some things. If they're fortunate, they have a Rebbe that tells them that you're good, you're good, you're good, you could do it. And they start to get some hischaskas, and they don't feel so mushlach, but then they fall into it again. They feel once again mushlach. So the kid's aliyah, he reads aliyah, he reads aliyah, he reads aliyah, he reads from, not from, from, not from, not from, not from, from, not from. And then you hope that you get him, and when he's from, and under the chuppah, fast, boom. Today. Guy, like, he was in a good place for like two days. He put on tefillin, and he's like happy. I got a girl for you for getting married. I just at the end of this, I read this thing last night. One of my kids gave me a book about this interesting Yerushalmi. It's very funny stories, interesting stories. Not really real Yerushalmi. And he was saying about how he got, maybe you read this book. So it's recently came out. He's not a famous person. He's just interesting. He's an interesting Yerushalmi. You know, he always smells like a cigarette. You know what I'm talking about? And he's got his hands are very, very rough. And he never seems to have any work except taking Americans to see tzaddikim, stuff like that. There are certain Jews like that. You know what I mean? It's a certain Esoteric Indian. You're never sure like what he does all the time, but he's always available for you. If you speak English, he's always available for you. So he's one of these guys. So he was saying about how Rav Shlomo Shvadron, I don't remember, I got to see him many times, Rav Shlomo. He was such a character, such a tzaddik Rav Shlomo. So he lives in Shari Chesed. And he didn't live in Shari Chesed, he lived in Ezra Star. But anyway, Rav Shlomo knew the family very well, knew his father very well, and Rav Shlomo calls him. Sorry, I'm keeping it another 2 minutes. Rav Shlomo calls him up. Now, this Rav Shlomo was in charge of Pilim, you know, he was running Pilim. And he called up this guy, he was a bacher, and he called him up. And he said, I want you to come to me Matzah Shabbos, whatever, 9 o'clock. And he said, we're doing something with Pilim, because he was involved with Pilim. There would be boys sent out to this, to be Makarov people, whatever. We're doing something with Pilim. He said, what are you asking me questions? I told you to come here 9 o'clock Matzah Shabbos. So he says, okay. So he went to Shai Chesed. Rav Shalom lived right by the Groh, right, you know, the Groh Shul is? Rav Shalom lived overlooking that place right by the Groh Shul. So he went to Absalom, and Absalom says, come with me, takes him to a room. He says, so like, where are we going, like for Pilim tomorrow or something like this? And he was looking like, where are the rest of the guys? He says, come to him. And he comes, Absalom brings to the room, there's a table and a couple of chairs, and it's like set up pretty nice. And Absalom says, sit down over here. He says, Rebbe, what is it? He said, there's someone that's coming to talk to you. Who's coming to talk to me? He says, you'll meet her in a minute. He goes, her? Rav Shalom says, just sit here. Rav Shalom didn't even call his parents to make the shidduch. Rav Shalom had this idea. It was a mishpacha of his that he thought would be good for the boy. And he didn't tell, and he told the girl the same thing, come here 9 o'clock Mitzvah Shabbos. Yeah? So the girl comes, and this, the Yerushalmis, you know, this is not like, what should I tell you? You understand, this is not Central Avenue. So he's sitting there, and this girl walks in, and she sits down, so it's very awkward. And Absalom says, he looks at his wife, says, you have a half hour. This is what Absalom said, you have a half hour. That's your first date. I'll come check in you after a half hour, see how it's going. That's what he said. So they're sitting, and he starts to say, I come from this family. She says, I come from that family. They're talking. Absalom comes back, a half hour. He says, okay. Now, is your second date. That's your second date. I'm coming back in half hour. That's your second date. So he's writing. He says, no, we're talking. It's going like we're talking. You know, my parents do this. I have a brother. I have a sister. I went to yeshiva here. She's saying, I go here. Yeah. They're talking. Exactly half hour. Absalom comes back. He says, Absalom says, look, I'm getting tired. So Shalom says, you have to know him to appreciate this. So I'm getting tired. And you're talking, the noise is bothering me. You go downstairs, you can talk outside on the bench, and that'll be your third date. So he goes, listen, he goes outside the bench and they're talking. They're starting to like each other, they're talking. So Sean then looks out from the window, and he looks out from the window and says, okay, listen to me. You're talking too loud. That was your third date. Why don't you walk her home? That'll be your fourth date. Stop making noise over here. Walk her home, that'll be your fourth date. So they're in Shari Chesed, and she lives in Bayit Vagan. That's husband and wife, I understand. He said he got back home 4 o'clock in the morning. His father's standing there waiting for him. Where were you? What's going on? You with Pilum? He said, no, I was with a girl. He said, what? He said, Absalom. And then he a few days later, he said, Absalom. He went to Absalom. No. So he said, Absalom. It's a shit. It's a date. I don't remember I told you this story. I don't know how I got started. It doesn't need any reason. It's just a gewaltige Meise. It doesn't need any explanation. Any explanation at all. But I had a reason for starting to say it. I don't remember. Oh, the right moment. That moment. No, Hashem Yisbarach should help us. We're going to begin next week to we have the pages which David sent. We're going to be doing something from Reuven Sasson from the Svarm of Tal Lechaim to begin to enter into the world of Tzadik Yisod Olam and the Midah of Yisod, which we're going to be spending the whole year talking about, maybe probably beyond this year. So if you, it's probably easier if you print them. You could all print them. It's easier to look at. So we'll get started with Hashem next time.